I want to thank everyone who took part in bringing last night's budget compromise to a successful conclusion. Best we can tell, only three states in America that do not have oil and gas revenue raised education as we did. Only eight states in America without oil and gas revenue have reserves, anything like Indiana still has. And as you know, the vast majority of American states have raised taxes, including several just last night, and that did not happen here. It took a lot of effort to produce a result like that, but Hoosier taxpayers, I think, should be enormously glad and relieved at this outcome. I really want to spend this morning, however, looking forward, because it isn't going to get any easier from here. As a matter of fact, if the legislature thinks this budget was difficult, just wait for the next time, barring what we can all hope for, which is a lot of good luck. This is a slide I've been showing around Indiana. It's very important for everybody to understand. These are actual results from 07, 08, and 09. We know almost to the dollar. This is the latest May forecast in 10 and 11, projecting an increase. Let us hope it is correct. As you know, for quite some time now, the forecasts have been too rosy. Again, in May and June, the latest forecast was not achieved. It didn't miss by a lot, far as we can tell, but we're not running on the plus side. And what this shows is that even if the forecast proves accurate, we'll have less revenues in 11 than we did 2 years ago in 2007. So, incredible caution and care with tax dollars will be required. We continue to look every day. Just in the last few days, we signed a new statewide maintenance agreement that will save $2.5 to $3.5 million a year. We have to continue to look in every corner because, again, this presumes that we do get some recovery in revenue. But even if that happens, we will be dealing with fewer dollars 2 years from now than 2 years ago. So with profound thanks to everyone who produced a really good outcome last night, let me just say that the work of protecting taxpayers will have to continue. Just another comment or two about last night. It is important to note that while it was a tremendous victory for taxpayers, it was also a huge step forward in education reform in this state. I spoke this morning on the phone to Secretary Duncan, President Obama's Secretary of Education, and he congratulated Indiana on reforms like the end of the caps on charter schools, like the end to the ridiculous prohibition against looking at student achievement in evaluating teachers. You might recall that it is the position of the Obama administration that any state having those policies would not be eligible for the race to the top education funding. We have now, thanks to last night's agreement, made Indiana eligible, and we will pursue education grant funding to move forward. I heard it said in floor debate, I think in an overheated fashion, that this budget means the end of public education as we have known it, to which I say, thank goodness. We have to have change in public education. We had to end these Stone Age policies, which the Obama administration agrees with us completely on. And we have to move forward now toward better results, the kind that our kids will need to compete in this world. So in addition to striking a great bargain that protects taxpayers in this state, almost uniquely in America, we've done a good thing for our kids and for the future of their future and our state's future. Yeah. No. What they mean is their bureaucrats may suffer. You know, the only reason dollars would go down to a district is that the district is shrinking. Indianapolis, for example, has shrunk 13% in the last 5 years, demanding more and more money for fewer and fewer students. You know, at some point, the unfairness is to the other districts. As with, the districts that have made the most noise get much more per student than the other school districts of the state. And that's all right up to a point. But, you know, let's just be clear. The Indianapolis Public Schools have added 22% non-teaching positions in the last 5 years, while they have 5,000 fewer students to teach. So this really is a disagreement between advocates of children. The policies adopted in that budget last night are pro-children. They may not be pro-bureaucrat.
Governor, what about the issue of economic stimulus? A lot of that went into the school funding formula. Obviously, that will be here in a couple of years. How does that play into the fact with the revenue projections and the budget folks are going to put together the next go-around?
Almost uniquely in America, again, only, I said three, I think we found a fourth, only four states, and they all have mineral and gas revenues. We are the only state in America without oil and gas revenue to have increased state education spending. 1.4%, as I recall, in the first year. And then the stimulus money comes on top of that. Indiana schools are faring better than the schools of almost any state in America. And we wish we could do more, of course, but those are not the times we are in. Education is the only area in which spending was increased, while we were cutting it elsewhere to make room for that. And it is not happening elsewhere. So those who were unhappy with the outcome should spend a little more time Googling around and see how they'd like to live in Alabama, where it's down double digits, California down 16%, or dozens of other states which did not produce an increase as Indiana did. Well, first of all, it's a huge profit center for the state. If the convention business of Indianapolis were to decline or disappear, there'd be a lot less money for the people in Northwest Indiana and everywhere else. It'd be probably the most senseless move we could make. And secondly, let me just say that in the much of the chatter yesterday, I hear this rather tired theme that Indianapolis is being favored. Nobody's more sensitive to this than I am. Now, Northwest Indiana was showered with new programs, and by the way, I support a lot of these. I've been trying to get the Little Calumet flood control project done for a long time, and now we will. There's shoreline development in South Bend, a trauma center in Gary. There are university capital projects all over the state. People keep overlooking that the professional sports development district, that's the mechanism for boosting the CIB here, was also boosted for the second time this year in Evansville. I heard complaints from, you know, Evansville and about somehow nothing happening down there. A double bailout for the Evansville professional, if that's what you call it, I don't, professional development district there, one for Fort Wayne, and a double dip for South Bend. So I think the legislature produced a very fair and balanced budget for the whole state. And shoring up this Indianapolis CIB means more money that can be spent and is spent everywhere else.
On the other side of that issue, the mayor's office is saying this plan doesn't come nearly to the amount of money that they need to plug the deficit for good. They said they're going to be back asking for more. We've had Republicans and Democrats both in the legislature say that this is only a Band-Aid. What's your assessment of the plan?
No, I disagree. I agree with the majority in the legislature that this was an appropriate response. The city changed its mind more than once about what it really wanted, but this is adequate. I'll just say this. I'll be here 3.5 more years. I don't want to see another CIB bill. It's not necessary. They can do absolutely. They can do with the amount of assistance and revenue and tools that they've now been given.
Why are you confident that's possible? So the spending cuts that you see?
They really don't have to cut anything. If they quit growing their spending, they'd be just fine. The bill calls for a new board. I think they ought to have a new board. I think they ought to have new management. And this problem will be addressed very, very quickly. But just, I refer you back to the data we looked at and gathered. Look at how much less expensively equal or larger facilities are being run elsewhere in America. And the data makes it absolutely clear that this can be done less expensively. And they just, so the question isn't can they, it's will they. Yeah, it might. We don't object to it. I don't know if we needed it or not, but it anything that presses ahead on this front, you know, I'm very much for. I've been speaking to Governor Beshear in Kentucky just within the last few days again, and they've made it really was up to Kentucky to take a big step. They've now created what amounts to a parallel facility there that we can work with. So I'm looking forward to, at long last, getting that project off the dime.
And they're looking at tolling as a possibility for that project. Would that be acceptable?
Sure. Sure. It might be the way to get it built at all, and certainly might be the way to get it built most quickly. And, you know, those who use a facility paying for it, it's a pretty fair and time-tested policy. Absolutely was worth it. I don't know how many legislators are going to actually claim their per diems and so forth. I know some are not. So we don't know, but, I did a little rough math last night. By having the special session, we saved over $700 million versus April, what they were working on when things ended in April. We saved over $1 billion from the House budget that they passed here in the special session. So taxpayers got a return of between 4,000 and 5,000 to 1 against the cost of, I guess, about $150,000 or something like that when it's all tallied up. So I'd rather there hadn't been one, but thank goodness there was. We have prevented the bankruptcy of the state. We have prevented what would have been an inevitable tax increase like those happening elsewhere. And so it was worth the effort and it was worth the money.
Do you know when you're going to make those appointments? And the project's gone on for 28 years. Should the people up there just sit tight for a couple of weeks?
Well, I want to see it. I want to see this done. You know, I've paddled around Munster and other places for, I hope, the last time. And the folks up there deserve to be protected against this chronic problem. And I'm very, very happy. I proposed this money, as you know, in each of our budget submissions, and I'm happy that it made it. And we'll try to move forward with a new commission that will, you know, stop planning and finish building the levees.
But in terms of a time frame, do you have that in your mind at this point?
Well, thanks for the reminder, and we'll put it right on the top of the list.
The budget included money in study funding for gambling, even though no gambling issues. Mm-hmm.
I leave that to the legislature. I think it is well worth noting, however, that there were constant predictions, daily predictions, from the start of the regular session on, that all the lobbyists and all the money that the gaming interests would spend would inevitably finally find their way into some sort of bailouts or expansion or something, and zero for all their money and all their lobbying. They got zip. And I think that was appropriate.
Back on CMB for a second. The mayor's office put out a balance sheet last week that showed about $12 million of difference with Houston. He's one of the comps. $12 million comes out of utilities, which apparently Houston doesn't pay, and apparently the Texans don't have the kind of deal the Colts do. Is it reasonable for them to make up the kind of return?
Yes. I'm not going to go into more detail about this, but we've had multiple business analyses done, and I'm just going to tell you that there's no question in my mind that that place can be run a lot less expensively than they are talking about running it. And they can't keep you handing out 5% a year raises to everybody, for instance. They don't need a redundant marketing department that duplicates what the ICVA does. And I could go on. I'm just going to say that it is perfectly clear that they can operate with the tools the legislature has now given them, and the only question is if they will.
You mentioned the city changing its mind, and Mayor Gallagher's in this office with you and endorsed your initial plan, and he certainly backed away from that in recent days. Were you disappointed by that, and how would you assess the way the mayor?
No comment about it. I'm just glad that the legislature has provided the necessary tools.
Do you think that this would have got done without the threat of a shutdown, or is that what it took?
You'd have to ask legislators. I just want to commend them for getting it done, and with a whole 5 hours to spare.
What about all the people out there that were wondering what was going to happen with their jobs, or waiting in the meantime to see if anything was going in the evening?
Yeah. Well, as you know, we didn't want to alarm anybody unnecessarily, but as the day got closer, we had to be fair to people, too. We held off, I think, three separate times before we notified state employees that there might be an issue. But let's just agree that it was necessary to take some preparations and to give out some information in an advisory way, but that thanks to the legislature, none of that was necessary, and that's quite a relief. No, he hadn't called.
Governor, the school funding form the
But what's going to make that undoubtedly split an upward trend heading into 11? Why are you concerned about that next biennium?
Say it again.
Why are you concerned? You said that about this budget was done way till you see.
Oh, yeah.
With the upward trend in revenues, what is it that has you concerned? Do you expect that to level off?
Well, I mean, just look at the number, Eric. That's less than we're planning to spend, significantly less than we're planning to spend in this year and next year. We're going to use some of our reserves. And we will be, unless there's a dramatically above forecast surge, which we can hope for. Please remember that another thing I'm very pleased about, the education trigger I proposed in my televised speech was accepted by the legislature, and that's a great thing. If there is, by happy circumstance, above, as opposed to the below forecast receipts we've been getting, if there's an above forecast revenue sometime in this time period, we'll automatically give half of it to education. And but let's face it, based on recent history, there's not a high percentage of that. And so even if we just meet these projections, there'll be a very, we'll have to make some hard decisions again if we want to stay in the black in this state.
Governor, the school funding formula contains still money for students who have already left the mm-hmm. district and additional that second tier of the complexity level to give more help to schools with high proportions of disadvantaged.
Yeah. No, not necessarily. I've always supported more money for the districts that have more at-risk kids or that have struggled. As always, the question is how much is enough? I do think that the ongoing practice of funding buildings and bureaucrats, that is to say, sending money to schools for kids who aren't there anymore, is a little suspect. But the legislature, you know, came to a compromise that continues that practice, and I'm glad to sign it. That's what they're there to do, really. You know, if you think back from the state of the state on or our budget presentation on, I took exactly the same position all the way, that I was fixed on the total spending level and the protection of taxpayers against service cutbacks or an increase. And it was for the legislature to decide within that boundary. And so I'm not going to second-guess what they've done. It's the product of a healthy compromise between folks representing all these kinds of districts.
But going forward, would you like to see the D goes to down?
I think ultimately we ought to fund children, not buildings or administrations. And I am for, additional spending, significant additional spending for the districts that have high numbers or percentages of special ed kids or low-income kids or kids who otherwise need extra help. Always strongly for that. Can I thank the legislature while we're at this? They whittled it down, but they did include funding for an expansion of our Woodrow Wilson Fellows Program. That's math and science teachers, people of proven excellence in math and science, who are going to go into these very schools. It is aimed at exactly the schools you're asking me about. And we're going to try to flood those schools with the best math and science teachers in America as fast as we can. And this, another of the positive pro-children measures they voted for last night was that.
Governor, the issue of unemployment, even though it was addressed in the original session, business community has been saying that they've done some math and they don't work, sort of workforce development. Says it probably could actually get worse before it gets better. Indiana could face maybe a $2 to $3 billion hole. Do you think when lawmakers come back in January, they're going to have to maybe revisit unemployment and how that's done?
Maybe. I said at the time we signed the bill that it was far from perfect. And given the state of the national economy, here and everywhere, these unemployment trust fund issues may get worse before better. At some point, I said this at the time, we'll have to do more than was done in that bill.
Are you relieved?
How I feel is not very important. I think taxpayers should be very relieved. And I think, really, Hoosier citizens should feel good about their General Assembly at this point and about the status of government in Indiana. Just take a look around this country. We are the only state that is solvent in the way we are, that isn't raising taxes, that is adding anything to education, except for a handful. We're the only state that doesn't have, isn't sitting on oil and gas. And that hasn't been easy, and it's taken a lot of good work by a lot of people. So I just want to give them the credit and invite the public to feel a little relief, if that's appropriate.
Do you think next session will be more difficult because you've got the additional election year redistricting, additional property tax caps, or whether those run into the ballot is going to have to be addressed?
Well, I don't know.
Feel free to speculate.
I don't know. I hope we make more forward progress next year. We'll be back with local government reform. And we'll have to talk about exactly which aspects and visit with proponents, visit with adversaries, see if we can find a way to move forward there, as we just did on education reform, for instance. You know my view, we should never, ever skip an opportunity or a session, short or long, in Indiana to try to make positive change. And we'll be thinking about that starting right away.
Governor, the budgeting allows for a P3 at the Gary Airport.
Yeah.
Any idea what that might fetch, or is dollar one secondary to getting a more viable management structure?
I think both are important. And I think this may well be the only way to achieve either goal. Timing now is not the best. This is something I really wish we had acted on 2 or 3 years ago, when we know that there would have been a lot of avid interest. Look at the what Chicago was offered for Midway, very different place, but still gives you some sense that there was a lot of interest not that long ago. Right now might be tough, but maybe next year will be better. I think it was a very positive step to at least create the possibility. You know, when you're trying to solve problems like that, and when you're trying to get bridges built at Louisville, you ought to open up every option that might get you there. And I think the legislature was wise to do both those things.
How confident were you yesterday, over the course of the day, that the budget was going to be passed? Were there times where you were mentally preparing for a shutdown?
Well, we prepared because that's our job. But I really never thought we'd finally come to that. I thought there was the will, and I thought it began to become clear over the weekend that people on both sides were finally ready to get serious, and And again, I want to commend them for doing it. It was a good process of give and take. There are things in there for everybody to feel pleased about and everybody to disagree with. But I guess that while we prepared, because that's our duty, I was pretty confident we'd, based on what we were hearing, that we'd get through it.
Is there anything in the budget that you really need to have for this
swallowing? Sure. No. No, because it's the nature, that's appropriate. That's appropriate. You know, this budget had, in the end, a pretty good bipartisan support. A third of at least House Democrats and a few on the Senate side voted for it. So to achieve an outcome like that, you not only have to accept, but really welcome the fact there'll be things you don't think are good policy or necessary spending of tax dollars. I mean, you know, I would like to have spent something less than we finally did, had more protection for the future, but this was about trying to come together, and I'm just pleased and grateful to all those people who finally did take part.
Getting low-income heating assistance pay sales tax on that.
I don't know. We'll get back to you. I have no comment for the moment.
Okay.
No, they'd be one-time grant funding, and we'll be talking with Tony Bennett about what to go after. But, you know, new innovations and experiments in education, I hope we'll make a significant application for new tech high schools. We've talked about those before. I think they're working well. That'd be an example. Might try to get some support for even more of our Wilson fellows, it's meant for one-time purposes, and that's what we, at least now we are eligible, thanks to last night. Thanks.
Nope.
I think Tony George is a great citizen of this state, and we are awfully lucky to have him. As any business, it's entirely the prerogative of the ownership and the board to make their decisions. But thank goodness for Tony George and all the good that he has done, and thank goodness for the IMS, which is one of the great corporate citizens of this or any state.